Well, Augustine was once asked the question, what is time? Someone asked Augustine, what is time? And he said, I knew what it was right before you asked me. I knew what it was right before you asked me. Now, this morning we're continuing in our series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we come to kindness. And of course, it's been a challenge throughout this study to give concrete definitions to these various virtues or graces. But we all have a sense of what love is, what joy is, what peace is. And though it might be difficult for us to try to explain these or put these in by way of definition in a concrete sense. However, up to this point, we would not find ourselves to be accidentally confusing love with peace or patience with joy. Those are clear and distinct in our minds. But as we approach some of these other ones that are coming in Galatians 5, like kindness, goodness, gentleness, those have quite a bit of semantic, as it were, overlap. There's a lot of similarity between these various graces, and therefore there's some, like Jerry Bridges in his book on the fruit of the Spirit. If you have it, if you don't have it, you should get it. It's quite good. He's drawing on the Puritans, and he does quite a good job in unpacking these various graces. But he just kind of lumps a number of them together in a chapter because they're so similar. And there's a bit of a temptation to do that. But I've resisted because if you go to Galatians chapter 5 and you read over the vice list that's there in Galatians 5, and then you read over the virtue list or the graces list in Galatians 5, it doesn't seem to me that Paul is just being verbose, that he's just being wordy, that he's just kind of using one word in the room of another word over and over. But it does seem that there are these various shades of sins, and there's various shades of these graces. And therefore, I do think that we can distinguish them. And I'm going to do my best attempt over the next few weeks to try to make some very slight distinctions between things like kindness, goodness, and gentleness. But even in the Greek text, sometimes what you find translated then in English for a particular word might be goodness. But then that very same word in a different passage in English will show up as kindness. And that just kind of shows you how closely related they are. But I'm doing my best kind of following the pathway of others that have gone before, and I'm going to give you my definition of kindness. Kindness is a warm, friendly, tender disposition of heart toward others, inclining us to help those in need. Again, you don't like the definition, you can criticize me, because it's my definition, and it might not be all that great, but this is what the best I tried to do. Kindness is a warm, friendly, tender disposition of heart toward others, inclining us to help those in need. And where did I kind of get this from? Well, if you turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 11, you'll see there in Romans 11:22, kindness, or as it's translated here, as I mentioned, goodness, because the same Greek word can be translated in both ways. Kindness and goodness here is contrasted with severity. So we read in Romans 11:22, therefore consider the kindness or the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness or kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. So the word that's used there for severity means sharp, intense, severe. that is contrary or contrasted with kindness, which implies tenderness, gentleness, and warmth. Another passage that I am leaning on a bit to kind of come up with this definition is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 35. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 35, if you follow along in your Bible, we read, "But I say to you, you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back." Now, this is the point, verse 35. "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil." For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. God manifests his kindness in giving and supplying to those who are in need. And so I'm bringing the two passages together, and you see that it is one. It is kindness is warm, friendly, tender disposition to others. And from Luke 6, you see that it is a supplying of the needs of others. It is supplying the needs of others, being inclined to give to the needs of others, not on the basis of what they've done for us or to us, but despite even what their responses are or their dispositions toward us. William Perkins, these are a few definitions that other people have given. William Perkins, he said, gentleness is another translation that could be here. Anybody who missed it, what I was trying to say is gentleness, kindness, goodness, they all could kind of get lumped together. There are, though, various shades of distinction. So here he translates it as gentleness, and he says gentleness is to give good speech and to show good countenances, even to them that wrong us and abuse us, without any mind for desire to revenge. Jonathan Edwards said, "To be kind is to have a disposition to freely do good." Jerry Bridges, he says, "Kindness is a sincere desire for the happiness of others." And probably my favorite is Stanley Gale. He said, kindness is the hands of love with the mind of Christ. Kindness is the hands of love with the mind of Christ. Well, first thing that I want to begin with, now that we've kind of worked through something of at least a working definition or a concept of what exactly is this fruit of the Spirit in terms of kindness, this warm, friendly, tender disposition toward others, which is inclined to help those in need. I want to consider this attribute, as it were, as it is in God. He is the one who supremely manifests kindness. Psalm 69, verse 15 to 17. Psalm 69. Verses 15 to 17, we read, "Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut its mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. The kindness of God is manifested in this warmth toward his people or toward sinners that call upon his name in time of trouble. He sees them in their need and he responds to their need in the answering of prayer. God's kindness toward us as his creatures is manifested in that he is a prayer answering God, and that he is mindful of our troubles. Another passage is Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 75 and 76. We read, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. God's kindness is a comfort to the afflicted Christian. Why? Because he knows that God does not afflict willingly, but in kindness, indeed, he has afflicted us. In kindness, he afflicts. And the psalmist says just a few verses earlier in verse 71, why it is that God afflicts. It is good for me, he says in verse 71, that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. God is a father, chastens, corrects in his kindness toward us, that we might know what it is to walk in his statutes and to keep to his ways. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Here again, we read of the kindness of God. Again, it's translated here as goodness, but it's the same Greek word that Paul uses for what we're calling kindness in Galatians chapter 5. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? The kindness of God is what draws a sinner out from himself. He sees the goodness and the kindness of God in his display of his many gifts, having bestowed so many gifts upon Israel, giving them all the blessings of his protection, of his provision, of his revelation, of relating himself to them, even though they are sinful. All of God's kindness toward them is meant to lead them to repentance. And kindness is indeed a very powerful virtue, a very powerful grace, very effective in the life of sinners that might lead them to repentance. Most of you are familiar with the story of Augustine's encounter with Bishop Ambrose. How many of you are familiar with that? You heard of this story before? Come on, raise your hand. You've had to have heard. Bishop Ambrose, his connection with Augustine. Okay, so Augustine writes it in his confessions. His mother, Monica, had tried to get Ambrose to speak to Augustine because at this time he was a Manichaean and he was caught up in a life of sin and rebellion. His mother is a Christian and she knows that Bishop Ambrose is a very smart, very eloquent preacher and theologian, and he would be able to dispel all these false ideas from Augustine's mind. And he actually initially refused to see Augustine and didn't believe that he was ready. But long story short, at some point he does encounter the great bishop and he goes in to hear him preach. But this is what he writes in his confessions. He says, that man of God received me as a father and showed me episcopal kindness. He showed me pastoral kindness in my coming. Thenceforth, I began to love him. I began to love him. At the first, not as a teacher of the truth, which I utterly despaired of in thy church, but as a person kind towards myself. As a person kind towards myself. What was the thing that began, that God used to begin to work in Augustine's life? It was the encounter with a Christian who manifested the kindness of God. And the kindness of God displayed in Ambrose began to do a work in Augustine's heart. We read in Joel chapter 2, verse 13, that God's kindness is not an ordinary kindness. It is beyond our thought and our contemplation. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we read, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness." And he relents from doing harm. God is a God of great kindness, and he has manifested his great kindness in the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently. Now, this was actually quite striking. When you begin to look at those words that Paul uses, or that one specific word he uses for kindness in Galatians chapter 5, you just do a little word study, as it were, and you begin to go to other texts where Paul uses the same word. And there is where it becomes quite striking, and we get something of a greater elucidation as to the meaning or significance of the word. Ephesians 2:7 and Titus 3:4, those two texts. Ephesians 2:7 and Titus 3:4. Paul says in Ephesians 2:7, he says this, that, well, to kind of back up to get a context, because kind of makes this statement in the middle of a long sentence. But he begins in chapter 2 by saying, "This is what you once were in your sins. You lived a life of pleasing the flesh and of your mind, and you were by nature children of wrath, underneath the influence and domination of Satan. And you were children of wrath by nature." But then he says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." That's what Paul says. God showed such abundant, exceeding grace toward us in our natural state in order that he might demonstrate his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The kindness of God is displayed chiefly in the person of Jesus Christ, and specifically in the forgiveness of our sins. Another very striking passage is Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. I'll just begin in verse 3. I'm going to end up quoting this, I think, later again. Titus 3:3, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared." Do you see what Paul is actually saying in verse 4? He is saying that the love of God appeared in Jesus Christ, the Savior. And what he's saying is the kindness of God came down from heaven and was enfleshed in Jesus Christ. Paul says very explicitly in Titus 3:4, do you want to know what kindness looks like? Look to Jesus. Jesus is the kindness of God incarnate. It is this warm, tender, loving, gracious disposition toward others that seeks to meet the needs of a sinful man. We see something of this in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus deals with the paralytic. The paralytic who's carried by his friends on his bed. And it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." This is the manifestation of God's kindness in flesh. This poor man who is unable to bring himself to Jesus is hoisted up by his friends and he's brought to the Lord Christ. And Jesus Christ, in his kindness, sees him not just as a man who's in need of physical healing, but he sees the deeper needs of this man. You remember, kindness is meeting the needs of others, seeking to make men happy, or being interested in the happiness of others. And Jesus sees that what this man needs is not just to be made physically well, but what he actually needs, what he needs most of all, is his wretched sins to be purged and to be cleansed and to be removed and to be forgiven. Jesus knew that this man would not be ultimately cheered up by merely having his physical paralysis removed. But what he needed was his sins to be pardoned. And then his joy and cheer would be full. And so God in the flesh manifests his kindness to this man by looking upon him and pitying him in his need. And in warmth and friendliness and kindness, he says to him, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." I read this the other day. It is kind of chilly in here, isn't it, Brother Leonard? Yeah. Well, that's good, though. It's keeping you all awake. I read this the other day. Someone had quoted a sermon from Ligon Duncan. And Ligon Duncan, he said this. He said, "All of us have sins that if your friends, even in this room, were to know, we would be humiliated and mortally embarrassed." The great Scottish preacher Thomas Boston once said, "If men knew my heart, I would not have four friends left in Scotland." And I want you to know that those sins about which you are most embarrassed, about which you greatly fear anyone knowing, if you trust in Christ, God has laid those sins on your Savior. And that's why Jesus is on the cross, so that you might be forgiven and accepted, he said. This is kindness. This is kindness in action. Sinners greatly burdened by their sins, Jesus comes to relieve them of their burden. Jesus comes to take away their iniquities, to pardon their sins. This is one of the ways in which God has shown his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, that though we were once lost in a flood of debauchery and sins, he has rescued us, ransomed us, purchased us at the cost of his own blood, and made us new in Christ. This is the same word that Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. That word easy is actually the word for kindness. It's the same word that Paul uses in Galatians 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Jesus is saying, my yoke I place upon you in kindness, in gentleness. It's not too heavy, too burdensome, too difficult to bear. But another way of saying it is, he's not severe. He is not harsh. He is gentle. He is kind. And he is easy to serve. He is easy to serve. Is that the way you think of serving the Lord Jesus? Is that the way that you think about living your Christian life? Is that the way in which you go through week by week? As if the service of Jesus Christ is easy because he is kind. Or do you think of Jesus Christ as harsh, as austere, as severe, as one difficult to please? Jesus tells us in this very passage about himself. This is his own testimony concerning himself. He is kind. And Paul says he is the kindness of God who has appeared in flesh. We see something of the kindness of the Lord Jesus on the cross, suffering and dying. He looks not to his own need. He even is mindful of the needs of wicked men. Remember, that's where we began. Luke 6 does not speak of us needing to show kindness to those who are kind in response to us, but even to those who are not kind to us in the least. And when Jesus is on the cross, his heart is still warm. He still remains full of kindness. And he offers a prayer for sinners in Luke 23:34. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now, we know nothing of this kindness by nature. We are not kind by nature. And I even have a text to prove it. You ready? Romans chapter 3, verse 12. Remember, I said sometimes good, the word good, can be translated also kindness. Kindness and goodness, they can be translated by, they're the same underlying Greek word. But there is another word for good, or goodness. And it's not used here. It's a word that could be translated rather kindness. And it's Romans 3:12. For they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does kindness. No, not one. That's what Paul says. No man by nature is kind. We are strangers of kindness. But what we have seen is that God is kind towards sinners. That Jesus Christ, who is suffused with the Holy Spirit beyond all his companions, who received the Holy Spirit without measure. He is rich and full of kindness. And he demonstrates his kindness in the salvation of sinners and the impartation of his Spirit and grace within them. And so now we too may bear the fruit of kindness because Jesus Christ is preeminently the fruit-bearing Savior. So to kind of continue to move on here, I want to look at now our kindness toward others in its actions and in its qualities, and then lastly conclude with how to pursue more of this kindness that we've been considering or discussing. So first, the acts of kindness. So that is to say, what does it look like in action? What does kindness look like in action? Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 in verse 13. One of the things that we discover in the scriptures, actually very early on in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, is that what is in the heart is reflected in the face. Do you remember what happens with Cain? In Genesis 4, verse 5, we read, "But he did not respect Cain," that is, the Lord did not regard Cain's offering, "and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." What was in his heart was refracted, as it were, reflected within his face, in his countenance. And in the same way, I think Jerry Bridges helps us in this way, that kindness does show itself on the face. Kindness does show itself in the way it carries itself and in its countenance. A kind person is seen with a kindly face, which is a rebuke to me, because I heard that after a number of the children at First Baptist, where my kids go to school, when they first actually met me and then began to speak with me, they told my children, they said, "Wow, your dad, he is so nice and this, that. But I never would have known that when I just looking at him. He always looked so angry." That wasn't too encouraging, but they also thought that I was a Muslim, like imam, too. So, I mean, are they the best judges? I don't know. Proverbs 15:13, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance." A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. I don't know about you, but it's definitely true with me. I wear everything. It's not probably true of everyone in the room, because we're made up different. But what is going on inside, I wear on my sleeves. I can't fool you. It would be impossible for me to fool you. If I'm having a good week, you'll know. If I'm not having a good week, you'll know. I just can't hide these things. What I feel inside, I wear on my face. And in some ways, that's good. In some ways, that's not so good. But this passage of Scripture tells us that if we have a merry and cheerful heart, it should reflect itself in the face. And that also should be true of us. As believers, we ought to be deeply filled with the kindness of Jesus Christ, and it should display itself in our countenance, in our face. It should be warm, friendly, inviting. A countenance that communicates friendliness and kindness. It's reflected in our speech. Proverbs 15, stay there, verse 1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Gentle, kind speech, kind words. They put out the fires of anger. They don't stoke, they don't add another log to what's already burning. But it causes the fire to dissipate. It quenches them. It puts them out. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And you remember that harsh or severe, it is contrary to kind. And therefore, this soft answer is like unto this kind speech, kind words. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. This means no harsh speech, no cruel language, no scathing comments, no sarcasm that's biting, no gossip, but our speech should reflect our heart, tender, warm, friendly, kind. If you're anything like me, maybe you did not grow up in a setting where speech was kind, even if what was said wasn't necessarily wrong, it wasn't always conveyed with warmth and kindness. This is something that I've had to learn and to grow into, to be kind in our speech. George Bethune said, "The loveliness of Christian character is kindness." Wow. The loveliness of Christian character is kindness. He says, "Without it, the sweetest voice grows harsh and shrill when not modulated by kindness." The sweetest voice grows harsh and shrill when it is not modulated by kindness. So it's reflected in the countenance. It's reflected in our speech. It is reflected in acts of forgiveness. Okay, Ephesians, you're already there. Chapter 4, verse 32. "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you." Another passage, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do." Fourthly, it's manifested in an interest, an expressed interest in others. This is something you can pick up even in conversation with individuals. Are you the kind of individual who merely waits to then interject your thoughts too often? Or are you an individual who listens because you are sincerely interested in the other person who's speaking? Well, what might they impart to you? What might you learn from them? This is an expression of kindness, in that we are we express a sincere interest in others. We're not self-focused, self-saturated, neglecting others and the needs of others, preoccupied only with our own interests. But kindness displays itself in a listening ear. Fifthly, kindness expresses itself in hospitality. Hospitality. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verses 10 and 13. "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another." And then he says, "Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, and sharing fellowship with one another over a meal in one's house." We express a deep and sincere interest in others, a desire to communicate our kindness, to provide for even something very simple like a meal for someone in need. So those are some of the actions of kindness. What are some of the qualities of kindness? Well, first, it's loving. Kindness is a loving disposition. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, Paul says, "Love suffers long and is kind." Is kind. Love is kind. The love of God manifests itself in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And so also our kindness is born out of love. And it has the same qualities, as it were, of love. Secondly, it's joyful. That is to say, it's from the heart. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10. With respect to giving to the needs of others, how is it to be? It's to be joyful. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all in which you put your hands. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. It's a display of kindness to give, to meet the needs of others with a cheerful attitude, with a joyful disposition, not reluctantly, not begrudgingly. Thirdly, it's persevering. It's enduring. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. I think that we see this also in the very list of the virtues and graces in Galatians 5. Right before kindness comes long-suffering. If we're going to be those who manifest kindness, we need to be those who are patient and long-suffering, because this kind of kindness is a relentless thing. Remember, we began with Luke 6. You don't give to those who can repay back. You don't show kindness to those who are going to respond in kindness. You show kindness even to those who would do you wrong. And that means there needs to be a kind of endurance, a kind of patience that goes together with this kindness. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. We see this, interestingly enough, even in these virtues or attributes displayed in God himself. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and long-suffering? That even these things are aggregated, as it were, together. They're brought together. They stand together. They need one another. To show kindness is not to just do one kind thing for somebody, but it's the willingness to continually meet their need, even if they never seek to meet your needs. That's very difficult. Another quality is that it is wise. Kindness is the better part of wisdom, as it were. Kindness is always wise. Proverbs chapter 31. You know Proverbs 31. I'm sure it's embroidered on different things. Proverbs 31. Be a kind of Proverbs 31 kind of woman. Now, Lauren, what was that thing that you were a part of? 31, something 31? What was that? They sold bags or things like that? What was it called? It was just called 31? Was it a reference to Proverbs 31? There you go. Well, we all know Proverbs 31 as she's the proverbial woman. She is the height and pinnacle of womanhood. Now, there's truth to that, but remember how the book begins. The book begins with two pathways. All right? The pathway that leads to life and the pathway that leads to death. And there are two voices, two women who are personified throughout the book. One is Lady Wisdom, the other is Lady Folly. Proverbs 31 is not primarily about a specific woman, it is about Lady Wisdom. And Lady Wisdom manifests herself in kindness. So all this to say, this is not just the kind of woman every woman should try to be. This is the kind of individual every Christian should desire to be. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness governs her speech. It is the standard. It's the law by which she communicates. To be wise is to be kind. To show kindness is the manifestation of heavenly wisdom. And then fifthly and lastly, before we get to the pursuit of kindness, it is selfless. Kindness is selfless. It is freely done. It is not done in any way with respect to what may be received in return. But it is free, like the grace of God, free, not contingent on anything that we do. We don't initiate it. It's initiated by God himself. 2 Samuel 9:1-13, you actually see something of an illustration of this kindness. And actually, that's what David says. David says, is there anyone less from the house of Saul to which I may show kindness? And then we learn that there was a son of Jonathan that yet remains, Mephibosheth. And what does he do for Mephibosheth? But he, as it were, adopts him into his family, puts him at the table with all the king's sons, and he provides so abundantly and lavishly for him, all the while knowing that Mephibosheth will never, ever pay David back for this kindness. He will not enter his army and serve as a good captain in the military. He is lame. He doesn't have the use of his legs. He will in no way pay back David for what David will do for him. And that's precisely how we are to manifest kindness, without a thought as to what this individual may do in response for me. It is a tender-heartedness displayed in kindness, and it is freely given and selflessly rendered. This is in contrast to what Jonathan Edwards called mercenary kindness. Mercenary kindness. A kindness that's only done in order to receive something in return. And Jerry Bridges, he said this. He said, a person who has grown in the grace of kindness has expanded his thinking outside of himself. A person who has grown in the grace of kindness has expanded his thinking outside of himself, and his interests have developed a genuine interest in the happiness and well-being of those around him. Does that not breathe of the air and atmosphere of Jesus Christ, the Lord? He is the kindness of God manifested to us. And if we would know kindness, we must know him. Well, concluding now with ways in which we can grow in kindness, ways to pursue this grace of kindness. Well, the first thing I would say is going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 27, we read this. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. That one of the things that can aid our kindness, can stir up our kindness, is to remember who we are. We are the body of Jesus Christ. We are members individually, one unto another. We are not just a group of individuals who happen to come to the same place to worship on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday evening. We gather together as the church and family and household of the living God. We are joint heirs with Christ and members one unto another. And therefore, the needs of others, we should have an interest in the needs of others. Our hearts should be stirred up to the needs of others. We should be warm and affectionate and kind toward one another. That's the best kind of home life. When everybody has this sense that we're in it together, we have common bonds. And those common bonds demand our kindness. Our kindness.
And also just think that it helps us in the body, we can learn these things. We learn what kindness looks like when it's shown to us. And we learn faith when we see it in the people. So the body else is growing.
Amen. Amen. That's so very helpful. Another aid to kindness is stirring up compassion and sympathy. This is just kind of really building off of one. But 1 Peter chapter 1, or 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, we read, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." You see, how will we be interested in the needs of others or meeting the needs of others if we don't have a sympathizing heart? So sympathy and compassion are necessary in order to undergird kindness. When we're all turned in on ourselves, we don't have any sympathy toward others, it's very hard to display warmth and kindness because we're so lodged in ourselves. But when we get out of ourselves through the grace of God in the gospel, we begin to grow tender-hearted toward others, sympathetic and mindful of their needs. And thirdly, be watchful. Luke chapter 6, verse 44, be watchful over the heart. Be watchful to guard what enemies enter into that castle of your soul and what things are there that you didn't know were there that need to be cast out. Unkind thoughts, severe thoughts toward others, harsh, bitter emotions toward others will make an impediment to displaying kindness toward our brothers and sisters or our neighbors. Fourthly, meditate upon the kindness of God in Christ Jesus. I think this is really preeminent. The more we take in of the grace of the Lord that has been displayed to us, the kindness of God shown to us in Christ Jesus, it is by that means that the kindness of God is worked within us. And we begin to manifest the same graces of Christ himself. Fifthly, be ready to help. Be ready to help. Have a readiness to help. Cultivate a readiness, a willingness to help those in need. 1 John 3:16-18. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" And so we ought to have this readiness of heart, willingness of spirit to help those in need. Stir ourselves up to it. So, to get very practical, when there are tables and chairs on a Wednesday night that need to be set out or need to be cleaned up or need to be put back, maybe it's an opportunity for us to serve. Whether it's a Sunday evening and there's lots of things that are out of place, we can do a bit of cleanup. When there's a shut-in or someone who needs a visit, we can stop in. We can send a call. We can give an email. We can offer ourselves to help in the nursery. We can offer ourselves to greet people at the door. We can offer ourselves to serve the little ones in Sunday school. These are all needs. And in your kindness, you can meet them. And sixthly and lastly, pray for an increase in the grace of kindness. These things come from the Lord. They are not things that we work up into ourselves. They must come down from heaven. That's why they're called graces of the Holy Spirit, gifts, fruits of the Spirit. And we need to pray earnestly that the Lord might increase our kindness. All right. Is there any questions, comments, objections, qualifications? Anything to give? Brother? We'll have to wait till we get to gentleness. Yeah, there is like, if you're drawing these like circles, as it were, it's like, you know, kindness, goodness, gentleness, they all have this big overlap, and probably, you know, even more so, a big overlap. And so what I'm trying to do is just look at this little piece out there, You know, what makes kindness, goodness, or gentleness distinct in some way? So, yeah.
It's just... Kindness, for us, I have noticed, always noticing kindness in others. She, whenever she doesn't just say thank you to people, she always gives them the grace. She'll say, thank you for being so kind. Yeah. And I just think it's this way.
Very good. Sister.
And when you were talking about the how much the face is connected to the heart, it shows what's in the heart. I read an article assigned for you that shows it actually goes the other way too. That if you are feeling depressed, you can actually help yourself feel better by smiling. I mean, we don't want to be fake, but they're so connected that your facial expressions can actually maybe heal yourself and you're feeling more better sometimes.
I appreciate that tip. I might take you up on that advice.
Whenever Sarah feels happy, smile. You like it.
Very good.
Go back to the first part of the passage where it talks about turning the other cheek. I heard a sermon in a previous church that one of the did about how we've only got two cheeks. And what's the second one is slack. There's a point where I have to kind of draw a line on trying to have a comment on that.
Well, you only have two cheeks, but you can turn them over many times. So, and we're talking about the ones on our face. Sorry, I've been around Pastor Murtha too long. I will blame him for that.
Just on this idea of showing a smiling when you're not feeling, hold on, it's kind of jokingly, that I would take hypocritical happiness over true misery.
Very good. Very good. Well, although that's not one of the uses that the helps to pursuing kindness, fake it till you make it. Very good. Any other comments or insights on this matter of kindness? All right, we'll end there. Thank you guys so much. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this Lord's Day that you've given us and this time to consider your word and consider your Son, who is the manifestation, the enfleshment of kindness. Lord, help us to know it more. Help us to know Jesus Christ in his merciful heart and his tenderness toward us as sinners. Help us to receive his grace and his love. Oh, Lord, we are so prone to think that you are austere, that you are severe, that you are hard to please. Help us, O Lord, to receive the grace of Jesus Christ into our hearts, that we might know more of the kindness of God toward us, that we might too be a means of reflecting the kindness that we have been shown to others. O Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.